The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Good morning. Thank you for that sweet, heartfelt prayer, brother. I truly appreciate that. I'm going to say this for the benefit of those who might be listening to the podcast who possibly have never been to the Primitive Baptist Church and who don't always get to hear the prayers that are prayed in the Primitive Baptist Church, that was one of the things that first struck me when I came to the old Baptist Church, was the sweetness of seeing some of these strong brothers kneel down and pour out their heart to our dear Savior. And I'm still thankful for it, and I ask that you would please pray for me as I stand before you today. And I'd ask you to turn with me, please, to Colossians, the first chapter. And if the Lord would help me, I would like to talk to you today, and if the Lord would bless, try to preach a bit around the subject of power. As you're turning there, by way of introducing this topic, do you understand that there are many forms of power that we see displayed in the world that we live in? I hope we'll see today that there is one source, really, of power that stands alone, and that is the Lord, but that He has given blessings of power to different beings, including humans, and it is our duty to make sure that we use it in the right way, because the powers that we see in the world have, as you know, often been misused and abused throughout human history and have not been used to the glory of God who gave them. We read this in Colossians, the first chapter, the 12th verse, giving thanks unto the Father, a capital F there, meaning God the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice that we're partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, not in darkness. And the powers that we see in the world as they're displayed can primarily be seen as either powers of light or powers of darkness. I've said before, we often see things in shades of gray, but the Lord does not. There's light and there's no darkness. And John writes and tells us that He is all light and that there is no darkness in Him at all. We should never attribute any of the results of powers misused in darkness to the Lord, because He's all light. And we have an inheritance in light with the saints. Verse 13, speaking again of God the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So we read here in the 13th verse that there is a power of darkness. There is a power in this world of Satan. Men, many times, sometimes children of God, participate in that. But we've been delivered from that. We've been translated by the power of God into the kingdom of His dear Son. Mm-hmm. Now think with me for a few moments about power, just in terms of general power. We may think of the power of a motor, the power of a storm, something like that. You understand that behind all power, all manifestations of power that we see, there's some fuel, right? When we gas up our car to drive down the road, we know that that car has some power to get us from point A to point B. We also know if we drive too far, we'll run out of gas. And that car that was whizzing us down the road at 70 miles an hour will just be an expensive hunk of metal sitting on the shoulder of the highway if I don't refuel it. We understand that, right? That power requires a fueling. Now, there's one power in this universe that stands alone, that does not require refueling, that does not require help, that is not in need of any force of nature to accomplish its purposes, and that is God Himself. And we read in the Scripture, there are many, many places, but just a few to put it in perspective. In Hebrews chapter 1, the first verse, we read that Jesus, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So we understand that the Lord upholds all things by the word of His power. He never runs out of gas. He never gets tired. He never needs a recharge. He never needs to eat to be able to walk another mile. And he is ultimately the source of power in the creation that we see. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we know that there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that light is power. God created that. In the 17th chapter of John, he says, thou hast given him power over all flesh. So the Lord has power over all flesh on the face of this planet. Now, not all flesh serves him, but he has power that he might give eternal life to it as many as the Father had given him. So understand that the Lord is the ultimate source of all power. You say, well, Brother Neil, if the Lord is the ultimate source of all power, why are we struggling with the powers of darkness now? If he's all light and there's no darkness in him at all, then why is there this other power that we struggle with? Understand that that comes from the fall of Satan and the fall of man. In that things that God made in the beginning to be good and were declared by him as being very good, many of those things have fallen. Did God create Satan? He created Lucifer. And Lucifer had pride in his heart and was cast down, and we now know him as Satan, who is the worker of the powers of darkness. Did God create sinful man? No. He created Adam and Eve, and they were in the garden without sin. There was a fall, and so now we struggle with lust of the flesh in the powers of darkness. But the original source of life and light in this universe, we should always remember, came from God. Now, some people would try to look at the power of darkness, the fall of man, and blame God for that, because God originally gave life and gave light and created those beings that fell. We should not fall prey to that kind of theology. To give you a natural example to kind of explain how that might work, I'm not going to get political here. This might sound political, but I won't tell you how to vote, so it's not political, okay? But this might sound political. What if I went down to Academy today and bought a Remington AR-15, 223 caliber, and 100 rounds of ammunition? Now, is there power in that device? Yes, there is great power in that device. Until you run out of bullets. And then again, it's another expensive hunk of metal, right? Just like when you run out of gas in your car. But there's power in that device, okay? I could take that gun home, sight it in, and the next time I see a coyote coming across my property after my chicken, I annihilate him with that AR-15. Now, that is an appropriate use of power, would you agree? Now, have we seen in the news recently a misappropriation of that same power? Yes. Is it Remington's fault? They sold me a gun. I used it appropriately. It was a blessing to me. It protected my property. It was entirely legal. I took the power that Remington created and used it appropriately. Some other nuthead out there didn't. Okay? Do I blame Remington for that? Well, you know, I mean, politically, some people try to, but I agree with Brother Tim. No. Okay? And ultimately, the source of the metal that's in that gun and the chemicals that make up that bullet came from where? From God. He made those things. So do I look back past Remington and blame God? No. Blame the powers of darkness. Blame the fall of man. Blame the wickedness of mankind to take something that God made that can be used for good and to use it for evil. I spent a couple years living next to a young man in Birmingham when I grew up there. Y'all have probably heard me mention Birmingham in some of my sermons, because I grew up in sort of the outskirts of Birmingham, and it's just broken my heart to see the decline of that great city in the last 20 years. I haven't lived there in over 20 years, but it's just gone down, you know. And if you live there, you know, be safe and look around. I'd look around when I drive through there now. Some of the areas that were just safe parts of town are just war zones almost. But there was a young man that lived next to me for a couple of years. I got to know him pretty well, and we're on the outskirts of the city. We hunt and fish a lot, and we would, had a good time doing those things. And I helped him learn how to shoot. You know, I moved away, didn't hear from him for years. And then my dad tells me one day, he said, have you heard about what happened to James? And I said, no, sir, what happened to James? He said, well, He's spending life in prison because, I've probably shared this with you before, he shot somebody in a drug deal and killed him. And I thought, now you know, that young man never did anything like that when I knew him. We use guns, but we use them the right way. Is it my fault that he took the little skills that I gave him and committed a crime? I don't think so. I think that's using something that could be a power for good and using it over here in the kingdoms of the world and in the powers of darkness. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
That the Lord set up this planet, set up this universe, gave it light, gave it power, and we've corrupted that. So we don't want to blame God foolishly. If we as like common sense human beings wouldn't blame the Remington Company for making a rifle that somebody uses in an inappropriate way, we shouldn't look at God and blame Him, should we?
Amen.
So how do we look at these things? In other words, and what are these sorts of powers? We understand that the Lord's been given all power over all flesh. And He manifests that power in certain ways. And He expects us as children of the kingdom, as the brother just prayed, to emulate Him in that. Okay? Not emulate Satan in terms of the powers of darkness. And understanding also that as the Lord has all things under His power, there will come a day when He sets it all right.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, we read a little bit about that. The 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 24th verse. Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now notice here again, this is a capital F. Okay, I would like for you to pay attention to that with me, please. There are also two fathers in this world, just as there are two powers. And I mean that in a spiritual sense. There's God the Father, which we generally read about here with a capital F in the Scripture. And there's a father of wickedness also. And that is Satan. And we'll read about him in a minute. Even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. A day is coming when the Son of God will manifest His power to everybody. And everybody will see it. Not everybody sees it today. If you want to see it today, you need eyes of faith. You need the Spirit of God in your heart and demonstration of the power of the Spirit and you having been born again and having been shown those things. But a day will come when we'll see it with our eyes, okay, and understand that. So the powers that operate on this planet, in a general sense, you have the power of God. And if we, and just for you children, if we could put it in perspective, if we had some sort of a chart up here to graph the powers as they fall in terms of their ability and their actual power, the power of God would be somewhere over in the gajillions on the chart at the other end of the universe. Okay? And Satan would be about a one. Maybe. And only because God puts up with him. All
right?
And we'd be somewhere like a 0.00000001 as humanity. Okay? I mean, we're nothing in comparison to the Lord. But I'll tell you, Satan's got some things on us too. We have to be careful. Okay? Turn with me, if you would, to John, the 8th chapter. John writes very eloquently in a lot of his writings about these issues. And in the 8th chapter of John, the 43rd verse, he says this. And these are the words of the Savior, of course, but John's writing them down for us here in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John. And he is again reminding us that you can't see the powers of light unless you have the ability given to you by God and His Spirit. In verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, my living word, he's talking about there. Not just the words he says, but Jesus is saying, you don't hear my word in your heart because you're not born again. Ye are of your father. Now notice this is a small F here, little F. You're of your father, the devil. You say, is the devil the father of something? Yes, and it's not a messed up race of half humans, half devils. He is the father of wickedness.
Right.
Okay? Who fell first? Now, Satan didn't make man fall. But he fell before we did. And he's been encouraging us to do wrong ever since.
Right.
He said, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. There are some things that are not of the great Father, God. They are of the world.
Right.
Okay? because of the way man and the way Satan has corrupted things. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, which tells me that there was a time when he was in the truth. When the Lord created Lucifer and made him to be a covering cherub and gave him authority over certain angels before they were deceived, before he became lifted up in pride, there was a time, it may have been brief, but there was a time when he was a good creature. Just like Adam and Eve, there was a time when they were not in sin, when they were still in a righteous state and had not fallen. But it said, Satan abode not there, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now turn with me to John's writings in 1 John, the second chapter. Now this is still the Apostle John, and he is writing here again about these two issues. He writes in this chapter about the light and the darkness. And this is, again, is considering the two great powers. There's a power of light, which is of God. There's a power of darkness, which is what follows Satan and which is what we struggle against and what we combat every day. And he says this in 1 John chapter 2, the 15th verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, capital F there, the Father, God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I quote that passage a lot because it explains to me who I am when I struggle with sin. And I struggle with thoughts that I shouldn't have, and I find myself saying things I shouldn't say and doing things I shouldn't do. Those don't come from God the Father, okay? They come from me. They come from the influence of the world that I live in, the influence of the powers of darkness. So again, think with me back now. Think back to what we said about power earlier. God is a self-sustaining power. He is not in need of you or I to do anything for Him. We're privileged to serve Him, but He doesn't need us. And He doesn't need to be recharged. And He doesn't have to eat a fish sandwich to finish the marathon. He's just God, and He doesn't need any kind of a fuel to keep Him going. But every other power out there, you know, that we witness, that we deal with, does in a sense. You got to gas up your car to keep it running, right? You got to reload your rifle to keep shooting. You know, there are kinds of powers that we see that are dependent upon some sort of a fuel. Okay? So what fuels the kingdom of God in a manifest sense for us? In other words, He doesn't need any help, but we do. And how does He make His power known? If you look at the two powers, understand that the kingdom of God is fueled by the power of love. I probably said this before, but I have to think back on it myself pretty regularly. The kingdom of the power of darkness is fueled by lust. We just read about it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those do not come from God the Father. See, the power that fuels the kingdom of God is the love as it was manifested to us by God, in that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That was His election. He chose us and He loved us and He made sure our salvation. Why? Because of love. It wasn't because He needed us in that sense. He just loved us, and it was just His desire to do that, and it was according to His good pleasure. And then He came and redeemed us and paid the price for our sins. Why? Because, again, as John records in the 15th chapter of John, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. So, again, it was love that caused Him to choose us. It was love that caused Him to come and bleed and die. And the very love that we have in our hearts one toward another is because He gave His Spirit to us. And because we are sons, He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. And we read over in Galatians, that's in the 4th chapter. In the 5th chapter, we read that love is fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So, see, love is manifest in our election and our redemption and in our being born again. And because we now have the Spirit, that love is supposed to flow back out into the kingdom of God. And it is a fuel that drives it. Compare and contrast that to the world and the kingdoms of man and the powers of darkness. What drives that? Lust does. Lust for things. What is the source of warfare? It's somebody lusting for something somebody else has. And then somebody's got to go fight them to keep them from taking it, right? It's lust. Murder. rape, these unspeakable crimes, robberies. What is the source of that? It is not the love of God, is it not? No, the love of God says love your neighbor as yourself. If I love my neighbor as myself, I'll never hurt anybody. It's lust that does that. So you see the driving force. And what should bring us together as children of God in the kingdom of God is understanding that His great love that we could never fully comprehend was manifested here to us lowly mortal people who are just less than nothing, in that He chose us, He redeemed us, He sent His Spirit, and now we're something. We're kings and priests unto God in the kingdom of God that our dear brother prayed about just a few minutes ago. And that kingdom is fueled by love. The love, agape love, from the very Spirit of God. And that kingdom, here in a manifest way, that power of the kingdom requires that fuel. What would happen if we didn't love one another? Well, we wouldn't want to be around each other, would we? If you hate somebody, you don't want to be in the same room with them, right? Much less the same church building. This is a room, after all. I hope the reason that you tolerate me and you're so kind to me is because you love me. I think it is, because some of you tell me that. I love you, Brother Neil. This is one of the few places outside my own home where I ever hear that. Have you ever thought about that? It'd be weird if somebody you didn't even know came up to you on the street and said, I love you. But it just doesn't seem weird at all if I go preach somewhere and some, older lady on a walker comes through the line and says, Brother Neil, I love you. I appreciate that. That just doesn't seem weird at all in the church, does it? It would seem real weird out at Walmart. And I'll take that too if maybe something I said helped them, but it would seem very strange there. And it's strange it would seem to see that love manifested out in the world. Think about how horrible it would be to see that lust that drives the powers of darkness manifested in the kingdom of God. It won't fly, will it? It would split it in a manifest sense. Now, the kingdom of God is eternal. All His children are going to be with Him. But we wouldn't want that. It could drive us apart. It is the manifestation of the love that brings us together and that holds us together. I believe God meant for it to be that way. So thinking in terms of this enemy that we face, Satan. We just read that he is the father of some things. And those things are lying and hating, and he was a murderer from the beginning. Those things, of course, are not part of the kingdom of God. Are they? And would we look at God and say, well, I see where God set this universe into motion. I see where He created it. I see where He made it very good. I see where He gave us light. I see where He gave us this power, and that He upholds it by the word of His power. And a little further on, we read in Colossians chapter 1, it says that it is by Him that all things consist. The fact that we still have air to breathe and food to eat and water to drink is by the grace of God. Would we blame God when some wicked people, wicked beings like Satan, take that and misuse it? We shouldn't. And what should our response be when we see that, when it grieves us, when it grieves our hearts? Again, not to get political, but I've said this before, I think Christianity is very practical. I think the Bible tells us things that, in response to the grace of God, that we should be doing. And those things are not just here in the church building. When we come and we sing and we pray and we preach. But that power, that love, ought to flow out of us. And people ought to see that. If they don't see it in me, I pray the Lord would help me. I know I have a long way to go. And I'm sure you feel the same way. But I will tell you this, there is such a contrast between the manifestations of light and the powers of light and the love that flows from that. And that is such a contrast between the powers of darkness and the powers that are fueled by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Listen, that There is a sharp distinction. And as things in the world become darker in that side, that light just glows brighter and brighter and brighter. And if we rightly divide the word of truth, things shouldn't get more confusing in the world. There ought to be less gray. When you see that the horrible acts of wicked man going and just murdering people by the dozen, contrast that with humble children of God coming together and their only desire is to pray and to sing songs to His name and to learn about Him and to shake one another's hand and hug one another's neck and tell them you love them. Could there be anything more different? No. And you see that, and it ought to give us hope, because we should understand that, listen, as we can more clearly see the kingdom of God, as we can more clearly see the things that we ought to be doing, we ought to understand, listen, the time when He will come and put that under His feet is probably very, very close. And thank God for it. Thank Him for it. The time of His long suffering is drawing close with those things. And in closing, I would like to just give you a couple passages of Scripture to show you how the Lord manifests His love. There is a sense in which He manifests it actively, and there is a sense in which He manifests it by withholding judgment. I believe it's a pattern for us. We ought to manifest our love actively. We ought to help other people. We ought to be kind. We ought to have fruit of the Spirit. We should love whenever and however the Lord will direct us to do so, especially those that are the household of faith. Amen. In Acts the 10th chapter, the 38th verse, we read this. And Peter is explaining here to Cornelius and other people about who Jesus is. Because Cornelius is a born-again child of God who's a Roman centurion, who's been worshiping God, been giving alms, he's been praying, but he just doesn't know about Jesus. And God miraculously sends Peter to tell him about Him. And Peter is telling them some things. And he's explaining who Jesus is, and he says this in verse 38, describing Jesus. Now, Peter was with Jesus during his ministry, as you know, so he saw some things. Here we get a snapshot of the intellect and the recall of Peter of just giving us a few sentences just to describe who Jesus was. It's amazing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He gave Him power. Who went about doing good. This is the power of light, the power of God. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, see. When Jesus came, I mean, it split things right down the middle. Here's the Lord, here's the kingdoms of man and of Satan, and here's the dividing line. Is when Jesus came, He was doing good, and He was taking care of people who were oppressed of who? Of God? No, of the devil. Because remember, that power of darkness is some power. Here in time, and God has suffered it to be so, for God was with Him. So here we see Jesus in power, and when He's in power, what is He doing? Is He like striking people down? Is He like running the Romans out of the country? Is he out protesting on the streets? Is He like screaming at people? Well, you know, there was a time in the temple where He got kind of upset, but that was righteous indignation, we know. The Lord didn't put up with His children being put down. And that they wouldn't let Him come worship. But in general, He was gentle and He was kind and he was simply doing good. Everything He did was good. Amen. Contrast that with Satan, who was oppressing people and making them have seizures and possessing people and all these horrible things. So that is kind of the active sense of it in which the Lord operated. Over in the book of Romans, we see how that the Lord also, in love, withholds His power sometimes and the manifestation of it. Because we said there's going to come a day when He's going to put all powers under His feet. And we'll really understand the source of power then. In verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one a vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and make His power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He hath afore prepared unto glory? Why is the Lord suffering some things right now? We've said before, Brother Tim said before, because He's got elect people. We'll look around and say, I just don't know why God lets XYZ go on. I don't completely understand some things either, but I do know this. There's a lot of them that He doesn't cause. There's a lot of things going on in the world the Lord didn't come up with. There's lust of the flesh. There's lust of the eyes. There's the pride of life that fuels the kingdom of men and causes men and women to want to amass vast fortunes and stomp on the little people. Causes people to want to go murder, and that has nothing to do with the Lord. And the Lord in heaven looks down and He says, okay, I'm going to suffer this a little bit longer because I have children down there.
Amen.
Maybe some of them aren't born again yet. Some of them may not be born yet. But a day is coming when all those powers will be put under His feet. So how do we act in the meantime? I think we ought to, under the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit, we ought to do the best we can as children of God and sinners not to live in the powers of darkness.
Amen.
We need to flee youthful lust, young people. We need to put those things away from us. We need to stay as close to the church as we can. And we need to love one another.
Amen.
It is the power of love. And y'all, I'm not talking about that song from back in the 80s. I'm talking about the real power of love. The power of Jesus Christ manifest to us.
Amen.
And for all of you that ever told me you love me, I love you too. And thank you. Y'all have a good day. And I'll turn it over to Brother Tim.